This program is brought to you by the Forbes-featured Freedom Hub Health Plan, the alternative to overpriced and restrictive insurance. The Freedom Hub Health Plan is exactly what you need. By Frequency Medicine Associates, supporting health professionals and laypersons with safe and effective advanced telemedicine-like technology that can scan and help rebalance the root causes of stress and illness. By the Planet Lockdown film, which can be seen on the Freedom Hub's Rumble channel along with many great speakers. And by The Pavilion, a 21st century community hub that brings together many of the disruptive innovations featured by the Freedom Hub, including direct pay healthcare, farm-to-table dining, TED-like Freedom Hub talks, and more. Visit your-mp.com/pavilion solution for details.
Welcome, folks, to Freedom Hub's weekly webinar. The Thursday one is broader than the health one on Wednesdays. We tackle liberty, regulatory capture, how to coach the new entrepreneurs in this new age, and pushing the envelope on what the heck reality is. And here is our website, your-mp.com. And thanks to Jim and Jane, it's been revised, and the webinars will be found on this tab, Your Media Hub. If you do want to support us, you can certainly check out your marketplace, and you'll see the sharing, cash, patient empowering plans that we sell here as people in the business. And at Your Media Hub, you'll see the webinars, and you scroll down, and you'll see the health one yesterday. And then this is the Thursday one today. And let me show another page here. This is an old Zoom we hosted on Freedom Hub with our mutual friend, Steve Bassett, the lobbyist for disclosure years ago. This is a pretty old video. And there's a bit of extraterrestrial in today's presentation with Dr. Macklin, as Jim will present. It's broader than that. It's going to blow your mind. And, you know, we tend to attract open-minded people. And we want to have really interesting guests. And then this also years ago is Sasha Lesson, who presented the Godspell. And he presented that in the context of the ancient astronaut theories as written by Sitchin in his series of books, The Earth Chronicles, positing that, you know, we are created by the Anunnaki. And with that, I will stop sharing and let Jim kind of make sense of my context.
I will try to do that. Thank you, Charles. Yeah, actually, yes, both Charles and I were followers, and I worked with Sitchin also, Zechariah, filming years ago. And covering some of this, and Sasha, let me admit some people here. Maybe I'll turn that over to you. Our speaker today, actually, I first heard him talking a couple of years ago and was very interested. And he was also talking about the future and ET connections and healing centers coming up. A lot of that we're hearing in the culture today, in at least our the more awakened groups. I want to throw in today's news. Kevin Barrett, we had on, who is I think editor of Veteran Times. He was our guest a few like two months ago. He wrote today, and I'm going to just pull this up because it's like hot off the press. This is from Davos, the meeting of the largest gathering, high end, as he says, prostitutes at the WEF meeting in Davos. And John Kerry let slip that some of the hustlers have come from the far ends of the galaxy to meet with them and to service the self-styled human elite. Just a quote from him. We'll need to verify this somehow, but I suspect it's probably true because, just again, my background as a producer, I produced a documentary for Congress, kind of a video that talked about the Roswell saucer crash to help reopen Project Blue Book, like in the 90s. And since then, I've been in that field. I have worked with whistleblowers, with the military, ex-military people, to bring this forward. And now I think it's really the time has come, just like all these other revelations, and Chris can talk more about this, is coming forward. But John Kerry said apparently yesterday, when you start to think about it, it's pretty extraordinary that we elite group of humans, selected by Klaus Schwab, are able to go back to our hotel rooms with hosts from Belarus, Alpha Centauri, and even the Crab Nebulae. The stuff they can do with those tentacles, I mean, it's almost extraterrestrial. In fact, it is extraterrestrial. And there's more, but just to give you an idea, wow. If this, I probably will, is going to hit the news, at least our news, and start to really spread and wake more people up. Today's talk is really is about mental health. It's about what's going on. And Chris has been talking about this for a number of years. He's got a great background. We are being affected by the AI, by nanotech. We've heard of Morgellons and these particles, these elements, compounds they're putting into these shots. And there's lots of other stuff, the EMFs, the 5G issues. We're all affected by these things we can't see, we can't hear, we can't smell. So, and I work with, there are devices out there, I should say, that are going to be coming more to the front and center that allow us to extend our senses. So we know if this is bad for us, good for us, how we can mitigate these things. And I know you'll touch on that. So I think that's it. Hailing from England, I believe, or somewhere over there in the UK.
Yeah, Chester. Chester, right, Chester. It's actually 30 miles from Manchester, 20 miles from Liverpool. Who knows?
So. Yeah, all right. So Chris will share some of this as we're talking about what's going on, maybe in the bigger picture, what we can do to help mitigate things and protect ourselves. And if I missed anything, please fill in. I'll turn this over to you. Thank you and welcome, Dr. Macklin.
Oh, bless your heart. Thanks for having me. So, yeah, I just wanted to talk about AI, mental health, because it's become a real, real problem, mental health, of course, bifurcation. And where did it start? Well, of course, you create a pandemic, you know, some fake nonsense that, you know, you've got this, you know, virus that's out there going to kill people, SARS-2. I've been on this, you know, I've been working very closely with scientists and, you know, this is, when the pandemic first came out, we had a look at, well, they had a look, I don't have a lab, but they had a look at the virus and there was no SARS-2 in it. It was just influenza A or B, and that's 500 labs, 1,600 aspirates, like, you know, mucus. They all tested and found the same thing. So that's 500 labs throughout the world. So, oh, well, okay. It's a bad flu, which is fine. So it's got a 99.99x, you know, survival rate. So, of course, you know, they've got people. So they engineered it. PCR test, we know, does work, you know, and we've heard from all the doctors that. It just finds dead RNA and, you know, oh, you got COVID. And, you know, I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I'm absolutely exhausted and fed up with the word COVID, you know. It's like, shh, don't talk to me about it. But anyway, so people have been lured into taking the vaccine. And like you say, it's all about informed consent. They didn't have any consent. You know, you look at the page, what's in the vaccine? Oh, there's nothing there. You know, that tells you everything you need to know. But of course, people still took it. And we've watched the vaccine. Very interesting. It's Morgellons particles. And, you know, people talk about, oh, it's got graphene in it. Okay. Graphene tubes and graphene spheres. And, of course, CRISPR technology. So Morgellons particles, let's go back in time a little bit. What happened with Morgellons is it's if you get dust, they call it smart dust. So if you get dusted with these Morgellons particles, 10 to the minus 9 small, they sink through the skin and they sit in your body. So have you guys got Morgellons particle? Yeah. Have I got them? Yeah. But they're not replicating. Why is that? Because the DNA, therefore, the RNA and the immune response is robust enough to just keep them at bay. It doesn't allow them to replicate. So how do they make Morgellons replicate? Well, eat agrobacterium, GMO foods or vaccines, you know, past vaccines. And over a period of time, your DNA will get damaged. And, you know, some people, you know, some people get mug Allens, and of course, if the DNA didn't get damaged so much, it wouldn't. So that's why not everyone gets mug Allens. So let's go to the jab and let's explain, if I may, what's in it, because it's important to understand that, you know, it's affecting the soul as well, you know. So what's in these jabs? Glycoethylene, we know about spike protein, HIV micro inserts into the spike protein. Now, they've put them in some and not in others. The biggest thing that's in everything is nanotubes and nanospheres. So, of course, 10 to the minus 9 small. So people think, oh, it's just graphene. It's not. It's bound. It's the gray technology. It's bound with instruments like nylon 3633. It's got silicates in it. It's also got a, you know, the tubes have got a complementary metal oxide array in them, so they can transmit, receive frequencies and monitor things. That's where the 5G comes in. And they can grow. You think, well, how the heck do you make nylon grow? And that's what's happening with the arteries. It's a nylon rope. They pull it out and it looks like, you know, people have described it like calamari, you know. The nylon's very different. Like, you know, nylon shirt is nylon 9. This stuff has got, it's a different texture, and it's, when it's bound, it grows. So how does it grow? Well, the way they've bound it with the graphene oxide, a couple of microns down, what do you need for growth? Carbon. Well, graphene, yeah, it's carbon. Then you've got, you need water, you know, oxygen, everything else, and warmth, and it's all in the body. So what's happening is these things are starting to grow through the body. And depending on the immune response, you can just get like ropes in your arteries, or you can get, you know, plastic coming out your skin, or you can get silicate, you know, different things. It's crazy. But it also transmits and receives frequencies to the 5G. So they can monitor your body. And, you know, you guys were talking, Charles were talking about informed consent. Well, there isn't any, you know, they do what they like, which is not okay. Now let's talk about the nano spheres, which is more concerning to me than anything. What's the nanosphere? 10 to the minus 9 small. It's got a little aerial array in the center with gold, and it's got 92 holes in it. So it's like having a football, only 10 to the minus 9 small with 92 holes in it. And so what they do is they load up to 92 different viruses in it, and then, you know, top them off. And so what happens is it's frequency driven. So if you want to release one virus, you just press a button on a frequency and those viruses release from all those nanospheres and you're going to get sick. And so that's where I think all the continued long COVID and all the nonsense is coming from, because they keep releasing viruses and the 5G. And so that's where, and also 5G, of course, can read your body. But if you think about this stuff growing, you become transhuman. Now, the CRISPR technology, how did they grow? Because like I said before, they stay dormant until you damage your DNA. How do you damage that? CRISPR technology splices genes, and therefore the immune response, you know, plummets to maybe, I mean, I've heard doctors say, and I'm not a medical doctor, go consult your doctor, but I've heard doctors say like it goes down to 80%. I see it going down to 20%. You know, I think your immune's completely shot. So the DNA, RNA, and immune has been damaged, and therefore this stuff starts to grow, and you create a transhuman. There is an element in there, and one of the problems I had with healing this stuff is there's an element from the grays, it's metallic, that's also bound to this stuff, and it could quantum jump between the third and the fourth dimension. So I used to apply a particular energy to break it down, and it would hide in a different dimension. And then when you stop the energy, it comes back, and I was thinking... And that came about 6 years, 7 years ago. And so we had to find a way of locking it so that it couldn't get, you know, so we could get it out of the body. And that was Akashic Record timeline splitting. So think about this. If you split someone's timeline in two, it's a Melchizedek thing because they created the Akashic Records. If you split the timeline in two, you go on a path of divine alignment, complete wellness, where all the particles and any, you know, any stealth pathogens like Borrelia Lyme, HIV-AIDS, aged orange, is eradicated from the body, and also pathogens like Epstein-Barr. And on the other timeline, what we're doing is we're getting the particles and locking them on a timeline to the sun. So as they separate out, they start to come out of the body, but very gently, because if you do it too fast, you'll bleed out because they're part of your tissue. Now, what's interesting is that So why do we have to do that? Well, of course, if they're locked on a timeline to the sun, if they try and quantum jump to the fourth dimension, when they come back, they have an Akashic record timeline. They can't get off it. So it's been amazing journey. So we have a 20-week program. And of course, if you separate out the body, when you get to about 10 weeks, when your vibration's high enough, you have to then reset your DNA back to the blueprint, because if you don't, you're just going to get it again because it's in the chemtrail. So what we do is go into the first cell where life began, repair all the chromosomes, connect all the helices together, and reset the DNA of that cell back to the blueprint, and then ground them. So that takes about 10 weeks, and it goes through the whole body, and then you're good to go. You know, so you're robust against it in the future, as long as you don't eat agrobacterium, as long as you don't take any more jabs, you know. But the other thing we're seeing, of course, is that there's tons of cancer. I've never seen cancer ever like I see now. And people get like stage 2 cancer within like a month or two. It's all over the body. I've never, ever seen it grow that fast. So it's interesting. So that's part of the transhumanism, because if you splice the DNA, the light body within the DNA is altered. And of course, your soul has to be compatible with the DNA in the light body before, you know, when you're born. And of course it's not. So what happens is the soul lifts out about maybe an inch on an umbilical cord, and people get frustrated because they're not really operating their body again. And in come things like archons to take over the body, or anarchy or something. So that's made a huge difference as well. So not only is you getting transhuman with all this, you know, technology growing in your body, but also the light body, and that's causing accidents, and all they call them vaccidents. That's causing a load of things. People aren't present. They kind of, you know, can't operate properly. So that's created a lot of problems. And of course, you've got other things like, you know, robotics, where they want you to have a wife or a husband as a robot, you know, and they're just desensitizing people, in my opinion. You've also got AI and things like Facebook and YouTube and all these places. And, you know, you only have to mention something in the room and suddenly an advert comes up. You know, they're monitoring everything we do. So it's troubling, to say the least, I think. But I think the mental state of the country now is pretty gone south. I mean, I've seen it over the last 6 months where people are getting really angsty. What the heck do I do? And you know, why is that? Well, of course, you know, if you didn't take the jab, there's a bifurcation, because, you know, do you want shedding? This stuff sheds like you wouldn't believe. You know, the spike protein, even the nanotech jumps about 4 feet. So if you get amongst vaccinated people, you're going to get shedding, and you're going to get the stuff in your body. At least you didn't have the CRISPR technology to damage your DNA, but it's going to make you feel sick, you know. So, and the other thing about 5G, of course, is that these particles, if they're in the brain, they can alter thought patterns, you know, by 5G frequencies. If you didn't have the vaccine, what does the 5G do to you? Well, if you switch it on, and luckily we don't have 5G around here, thank goodness. If you switch it on, you know, the cells detox so quickly, you get like altitude sickness and all this sort of thing. So there's so much going on at the moment, and I think people feel like powerless, like, what can I do? Well, the answer is hold the space. You know, what first thing I think people have to do is get within their space, look for things that make you feel joyful, get out the matrix, you know, because it doesn't serve you, and really focus on the joy of just making a plate of food, or, you know, just being here. Put some music on, whatever, you know, do meditation. Do yoga. Yoga's fantastic. Do all these things and don't worry about what's outside. It's not our deal. You know, we're the rebuilders, not the destroyers. And I think we just have to hold the space till that happens. But the mental state of people is pretty tough, you know. And I think, you know, by doing what we do at the moment, we're helping people maintain some sort of balance, you know. And I think that's important. But this technology is not okay. It's like giving a 3-year-old the keys to a Ferrari. So we do have a protocol. If people want to get it out of the body, you know, it's a 20-week program. It does work. We've worked on 500-600 people up to now. 550-600 people. I can't remember the exact number, but it does get it out of the body. So it really helps.
Okay.
Does that help? Or is that too much information? Too quickly.
No. I we can open it up for questions. I'm just wondering, let's see. I want to ask you to start, just to finish up on what this this mental health crisis and where we started, and AI. And you mentioned archons, and I know Rudolf Steiner talked about this. Where does AI fit in? I mean, I think, you know, we had a show on yesterday where they're using AI to help with with testing, lab testing stuff. And I think in some ways, of course, it's great.
Good.
Yeah. But so where are the issues here? What do you see?
Well, I think, you know, it's the cabal they've got.
Yeah. What kind of AI, or it's the people behind it? Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, it's basically the people behind it. I mean, you know, you can use anything for good or evil. You know, it's up to you. And of course, they're now using AI, you know, to depopulate, because if this stuff is growing in your body, it assembles itself around the heart. You know, it's not just clots, it's the AI technology growing around the heart. And of course, when they pull it out, oh, you got clots, microclots. And so they just want to depopulate. That's what they've done with this. To me, it's a depopulation jab. And, you know, with the amount of people I'm seeing, you know, and you guys must know as well, it's just nuts. But I think, you know, it also, affects the AI, does affect the brain. It affects thought patterns. So, you know, people change, you know, the whole personality changes. A, because they're not completely in their body. They're kind of, the soul's like out. But B, this technology is in the brain and can actually modify, you know, thought patterns. So, you know, it's kind of crazy.
Yeah, Charles.
I have a number of questions, and folks, if you want to join the Q&A, which is always the best part of the show, just find the reactions tab around the Zoom controls and click raise hand. Talk a bit about who you are. How did you get into this? Like most of us, you probably had like the Matrix movie, a mainstream kind of life. And then something happened and you got...
Yeah, you go, oh, my God. If this is all wrong, absolutely. Well, what started, when I was four, I realized I was quite gifted. I remember with my father, I had a big old Anunnaki stand, and it was about 10 foot tall, and it was just like this reptilian thing, because I didn't know what it was. Oh, God, Dad, there's a monstery reptilian thing. When I was four, and he comes running up. It's just a bad dream, darling. It's there, you know. And of course, he couldn't see it. So I thought, okay. So I just, even the age of four, I said, get out of my bedroom. It went. I thought, oh, that worked. And so moving on, they still come and go, and I let them go. And then I could see craft in the sky. Dad, there's a saucer in the sky. And he goes, where? You know, because of course, some people can see these things through the veil and some people can't. And of course, you know, I realized that if I didn't shut up, you know, he's probably going to send me to a psychiatrist. So I just stopped it and just watched and, you know, observed. And then, you know, life moves on, severely dyslexic. You know, I wrote books. Someone said, you've got to write a book. I thought, you got to be kidding, you know, write a book. So I did it, but I had to get a ghostwriter, and I just dictated it. So that's my way of, you know. But anyway, so dyslexic, remedial class, brilliant at maths, but terrible at English, and moved forward and went to high school and got a couple of qualifications, and then did an apprenticeship on aircraft maintenance. And then I was sponsored to do a degree. Of course, my father said, nah, you're too thick to get a degree. Oh, right, we're going to get one. So I got one. It was hard work, but I got one. Going to do a master's at Cranfield, you know, which is the avionic, you know, it's basically just does postgraduate courses in England. Went there, got a master's. And so, you know, that time in 1986, a couple of years ago, it you know, you could command your own money. So I did really well. But I kept thinking, this doesn't fit this corporate, like, nonsense, you know. I worked at Philips at the top. I worked at Marconi and all these different places. And I thought, you know, one day I sit there, I don't understand why I'm doing this. There's got to be something better than just getting a paycheck and not enjoying your job. And so 2007, completely bankrupt. I decided to build 177 apartments in Manchester. Oh, big mistake, you know, because I was basically buying houses, refurbishing them, selling them. So I went bankrupt. What a blessing, you know, but didn't realize at the time. I remember sitting in the middle of Manchester, two bags, and I'd worked for 21 years and got all this money. And I said, God, this isn't funny. What's going on? Oh, it's the right time. You'll see. How do you mean? You'll see, you know. Oh, you'll see. Oh, I did see. I went on a 4-year journey. I was living at partially about a car. I used to, you know, sometimes stay with some people, but hardly had any money for food, but always had just enough, except for two spells of 21 days and 7 days. And, you know, traveled to Belize, went to India, went all over the place and doing healings. And, you know, it's funny because when I went bankrupt, it just relieved me of all this third dimensional money, petrodollar, you know, I was going to say BS, but, you know, it's probably rude, but it is, you know. So it actually took all the pressure off and it just allowed me to just be, you know, I had no schedule, didn't have to be anywhere, but it was very lonely. And from there, you know, I spent 4 years, 6 hours a day in meditation, something like that, for about 3 or 4 years, understanding cause and effect, understanding what the heck's going on. And then I came over here and we opened the center. Build it, they'll come, they said. So I was in Branson, opened the door, nothing's happening, you know. And so I waited 3 months, nothing's happening. What's going on? They said, it's within, get out there. Oh, okay, you know. So as soon as I went out, things changed. And like I say, now we work on so many people and I love it. You know, it's having that passion, but I've found the passion. You know, electronics and software was not my passion. Flight control systems could do it, not my passion. This is like, you know, and I always encourage people, if you're out there, if you find your passion, something really inspires you, you know, and you leap out of bed in the morning, yeah, we're doing it again. You know, that's the thing that really, you know, you're in divine alignment, service to others. That's the key, I think.
And how did you, you know, start getting that scale, you know, with revenue from patients and media coverage and stories, you know, marketing? Have you had some celebrity partners that have, you know, worked with you? How has your growth happened?
No, it's interesting. The growth happened because I just went out. I started going to, you know, expos. I started going to, like, the Unity Church. The first place I went to actually was the Unity Church in St. Petersburg in Florida, you know. And of course, you know, I open the doors, I come. So I walk in, you know, in the afternoon. I said, oh, yeah, you're speaking tonight at the bookshop. I said, yeah, you know, it's great. So I was thinking, well, there'd be one or two people there. It was slammed. And I was looking at the, no one's ever heard of me. Why would they want to come see me? And the answer is because it depends, I think, on your energy. You know, you attract the right people. And in fact, they had to lock the doors because of fire regulations and people were banging them. I want to come in and listen. So I thought, wow, you know, and that gave me the inspiration. Right, I need to get out there. So we spent thousands of, probably $100,000 a year getting out there, speaking, you know, flying, doing everything else. And it took off from there. And now, you know, like I say, we work, I don't know. If you look at, you know, we do general healing sessions 3 times a week. We do one-to-one sessions. We do specialized groups where we, you know, focus on the actual healing. But the general healing session is by donation. And I always tell people, look, if you don't have any money, just come on them, because, you know, that's why we're here, you know, to help people. And so, you know, it just took off from there, you know.
Can you explain the third dimension BS that you're leaving in the context of this rebuilding that you see as necessary and that you're probably helping through your coaching? What are some thoughts you have about this conversation about dimensions and rebuilding?
Well, I think we're bringing the energy to get the, you know, my personal opinion, people say, oh, we're going to ascend. I think what we're doing is bringing it from the ethers down here, you know, and it'll get the vibration high enough that we'll enter, you know, the fifth dimension here. But I think the problem is with this transition, I feel like, and I don't know if you guys agree, but people get very comfortable. They think the government's looking after them and, you know, and all this sort of thing. I think it's very important to realize that, how would you really crack people open? I don't think there's anywhere near enough people awake yet to, I'm talking about awake when you've done the work on yourself and you're really there, you've taken your power back, you feel amazing, and you step out in the world to do things, you know. Yeah, people are starting to wake up, oh, there's something going on. So I think it takes probably about 36 2x4s to the head to, and, you know, it's like child trafficking. Oh, there's child trafficking. I talk to people, nah, not in America. Excuse me. Then you hear it again. Then you hear it again. And then suddenly a light will go on. Oh, my God, there's child trafficking in America. Yeah, I've been telling you this for 2 years, but people, and that's why I don't think this country is at a precipice yet. I think it's got to get way worse, where it really takes people outside the box, you know, and then it'll be a rebuild. But of course, the mental state would be pretty poor and they need help, you know. So, sorry, I've got a cough. Just have a quick drink.
Charles, Okay.
Sorry, bless you. Yeah, so I think the mental health is going to decline more, but it's got to get to rock bottom, that kind of dark night of the soul, for people to remember. If you changed it now, I don't think people are at the precipice where they really get it. And if you don't take them to that precipice, you know, if you did it now, oh yeah, it was a bad 2 years, but we're all done now, you know, let's move on. And they'd forget it. And I don't think we could afford to forget it, because we don't want that to happen again, you know.
Final question for now. Can you kind of give a quick primer about this Akashic Record concept you raised, in the context maybe with the archons or archons that try to, you know, take the space of your soul? You know, in yoga, that's a concept you'll learn about that basically is, you know, the record of all the facts in your soul through its infinite manifestations from leaving the source. But, you know, not everyone that follows us knows everything about the cool topics of existence. So maybe a quick primer on the Akashic Record, how that, and then these archons trying to fighting with your soul for the space, et cetera. What are you going to say?
Yeah, I mean, the Melchizedek beings put the Akashic Records in because, of course, in the future, you've got infinite timelines. Like, you know, you could say, well, you know, today I want to be in jail, so let's go rob a bank. You know, that's a timeline you could be on. Or you could be a hairdresser, or you can do, you know, podcasting, or you can do healing, you know. But of course, there are timelines, you know, maybe two or three, where they're absolute, like, divine timelines, where it's service to others, and you have the gift. And of course, you know, if you start getting on that timeline, you get downloads, they teach you how your gifts work. So, but the past, of course, you know, of course, it's got a timeline you've been on, and it's got a record of everything that ever happened. And the reason why they put that in is because they knew eventually people would have time machines. So if you go back on your timeline, for example, I always take Hitler, you know, I pick on Hitler, and you see him in 1936, can you alter his timeline? The answer is no, because that timeline's already happened. You see what I mean? So you can't alter the past history from your timeline, which is great, because if you could, I think this world would be an absolute mess. The time-space continuum would be all over the place. But of course, in the future, infinite timeline. So what we do is we split the timeline to and put you on a path of divine alignment. That means divine alignment. There's one or two, there's the prime, I think, timeline where it serves to, you know, doing God's work or prime creator's work. And if you allow it and just focus on God's got my back and don't go off the timeline, you know, amazing things have happened. I mean, when people have been on this protocol, suddenly the life changes. You know, one lady suddenly decided she was in New York and she moved to it was Colorado within like a week. Another lady flew to Spain and met her, you know, counterpart. So many things have happened. And I think it also, your timeline bleeds into people around you. So if your timeline alters to a positivity, you might like lose some friends which weren't serving you then, because, well, you're weird, you know, and they don't know why, but everything's altered about you. So it's been pretty incredible.
Final question for now, Jim. As you get more known, other folks who are doing God's work for, you know, a better existence, you get to know you, you get to know them. Who are some of the people you like the work they're doing? Maybe some friends, colleagues, competitors, whoever.
Well, I've got a few people around us. I've got Sarah. She's a medicine woman. She's 85, a genius lady. I've got people, quite a number of people I support, and they support us. They do counseling work and, you know, psychiatry, psychologist. And we support them because it's important that they get not just the third dimensional aspect of, well, give them a tablet and, you know, let's knock them out and we're good to go. You've got to understand why schizophrenia happens. You've got to understand, you know, why depression and all this sort of thing happens. So we support them. You know, we're very good friends with Laura Eisenhower. I love her, bless her. I think her work's great. Let's just think. Yeah, there's a number of people. I can't think of them all now, but But the problem is with me, I don't get much time to spend because, you know, we're doing so much healing, you know, so it's, it kind of takes the day up. And the day off, you know, you have to step away from it and kind of relax because, you know, when you work on so many people, the mental state of them, it's kind of declined over the last year and it gets a lot harder, you know. So, but yeah, there's some really good people doing some good work. And there's lots of doctors, like I know you had Dr. Zelenko on and yeah, Dr. Zelenko, bless him. There's some great people who are speaking out, you know, and have got the courage to do it because you do put your life on the line. I mean, this thing on my neck, it was a lot bigger before I'd been working on it. That came from an expo. I was dusted with a bioweapon. And how do I know? Well, I did a toxicology report and I got really sick. And afterwards I did a toxicology report. I had a solvent in my body, banned after 1960 because it sinks through the skin so well. I had a binding agent and I had two malaria, which is from rats. And so what they did is, you know, you spray it, it sinks to the skin with a solvent, gets in your bloodstream, the binding agent binds it to the cells and the two malaria. And I got really sick. I worked on myself that weekend. I got better, but then the toxic substances actually grew a cyst here. And, you know, we analyzed it, and of course, so I've been breaking it down. It's about a third of the size now than what it was. And it's very soft. You can probably see the skin where it was, but you know, you've got to be careful. I mean, 289 times they've tried to take me out. Once was in, it was actually in India. I went to India, got back to Delhi, and I was in the northern Tibetan camp. And I got this over one thing, you've got to change your ticket. 4 days, you need to move it 4 days in front. Why? You've got to change your ticket 4 days. Why? Just change it. Okay, yeah, I'm listening. Changed my ticket. This one day that I was supposed to fly off, the aircraft never took off. It went to the end of the runway and blew up, killed everyone on board. So it was like national news. I thought, oh, okay. Well, thanks for telling me, you know. And so these things happen. So
yeah, we have to acknowledge the risks. And of course, you know, I lobby for National Health Federation, and people in natural health will tell you, you know, there are a lot of leaders over the decades that have been taken out. And, you know, I guess to the cabal, you know, who are they? Well, I guess it's any global elitist who has power and the tools of government at their disposal to grow their oligarchy and oligopoly.
Well, one of the things I think is that people think, you know, feel like powerless. Oh, you know, it's all the cabal and how are we going to, to me, you know, Prime Creator is it, you know, way, way more powerful than anything. And we're doing a ceremony. And again, if you guys want to join, we're doing a ceremony on the 1st of February at 2 p.m. Central Time. What is the ceremony? Well, I was believing no judgment and therefore get Prime Creator involved. So what we do is we do a whole ceremony, you know, go through it, and then we call out all the big tech, big pharma, named or not named, known or unknown, and we go through it. And then we bring them before God for justice in any way, you know, Prime Creator knows how, not for us to judge them. Therefore, we release them to you with unconditional unforgiveness. And that's made a big difference because, you know, they always say, to me, the power of maps of intent, don't necessarily like the word prayer, but I mean, it's prayer. Maps of intent is so powerful. If you get that many people chanting this thing together, it really does, you know, make a massive difference. And then what we do is create a God, you know, Prime Creator ritual out of it by reinstating it every single day for the next 120 days. That's going to counteract the satanic, you know, spells and things that they do, you know, sacrifice. That's going to counteract that every single day. And I really do believe that's had a profound effect.
I just want to jump in. I think it's the biggest issue, I mean, the real issue, is that we, generally speaking, the Western civilization has been disconnected from source. You know, we are spiritual beings having a human experience, but you know, you'd never, I mean, even the religious, the Western religions have kind of pushed that aside. Jesus said, ye are gods. Nobody either believed it or we don't follow that. We don't take that power. We have that divine power, you know, and I've seen everything from, well, not that, but Stanford, remote viewing. You just look, the Monroe Institute here in Virginia, they teach people how to use their consciousness, take it out of their bodies, and do, that's where psychic spying kind of developed. So wait a minute, that changes the whole paradigm. We're not just physical beings. And that's where intentions and conscious acts of creation, Dr. Tiller's book, and everything that's come out of that, it's not in the mainstream. So no, that's where, that's the problem. We're missing all of our kids. I mean, if they were taught properly, I say, the real truths growing up about the nature of the universe, the universal laws, et cetera. Oh my God, I think we'd be in an amazing world, you know, very heart-centered, right? It'd be incredible to see what we could do here on this beautiful planet. So that's what I see happening, right? And I think we see it now. A lot of us, I like both of my kids are basically woke. You know, I know we had my ex and I had no idea they were teaching this stuff in school. And all of a sudden, you know, I have a daughter, like many of the people we know, saying, you know, oh, you're systemically racist and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. Where'd that come from? Right? And then the mental health thing. So how do you go back? And the news, I mean, you got to shut that off first. But is there any advice for these kids? Or maybe they're just here as teachers for us to see so we can, you know, reflect back and say, okay, this is not how it should be. But in the meantime, you're right. I'm looking at this headline that says 44% of young adults are at risk of a clinical mental health diagnosis. At least suicides are skyrocketing. And of course, if you get it that we're eternal, you know, we have multiple lives, we can come back, we can change our timeline, then all of that and the fear of death goes away, right?
Oh yeah, I mean, I don't fear death at all. That's why, you know, I'm here as long as I'm here, because when you pass, you don't really die, you know, you're actually in a much better place. You're having champagne with Prime Creator. I did the lifetime, woohoo, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, so many people are here, you know, when they're doing healing, and say, well, I don't belong here. Well, of course you don't, you know, don't even try, you know, because they shame themselves. I don't understand why people don't like me. And that's because they define you as a weirdo. And in fact, I think we're all normal. Weird is kind of out there, you know, and that's not a judgment, it's an observation. but I think, you know, it's learning to manage life and learning to have the faith in what you do, your passion, to be able to do that. And don't worry about the money. You know, I hated money. And now I understand, it's an energy. And, you know, it's an instrument to be able to pay bills. And, you know, we have 10 staff and we get a lot of bills, of course. So it's just an instrument. You know, I don't worry about money. And, you know, even when the accountant, we have the accountant doing all the accounts, I can't stand accounts. And she always laughs. We've got to, you know, it's a non-for-profit, so I have to do a 990, you know, for the IRS, and it's 120 pages long. And she says, well, I think you should read it just to make sure it's right. And I'm like, why? And she starts laughing. She said, you're not interested, are you? I said, no. I said, look, I'm not an accountant. Do you think it's right? She goes, yeah. I said, well, just file it then. I don't know. You know, I wouldn't know it's right or not. I mean, and actually, I'm not interested whether it's right. You know, that's your responsibility. And I think people have to detach from all that third dimensional stuff. Yes, you have to do it and stay within the law, but get other people to do it. Focus on what gives you that absolute passion. I think that's so, so important, you know.
Absolutely. Linda, you have your hand up.
Yeah, yes. Linda.
Yes, I'm from Baltimore right now. Last week, for 2 hours, I was in a conference about AI robots and smart islands, where they consider Harari, the advisor of Klaus Schwab, a hero. And everywhere it was thanks to Harari, things like this. I was so sick, I was close to vomit, but I said, I will stay up to the end. My question for you is that now we have 5G, even with satellites, and they try to put in the sea. I don't know what is the goal to put 5G in the sea for fish to go around. I don't know. Anyway, what do you think about grounding? The only way that I have for relaxation is grounding in clean soil that I made in a park. And another question is if you know what a sonic weapon is.
Yeah, sonic weapons are high frequency weapons, and they do use them. They use them for satellites because they've triggered 5G, you know, sorry, not 5G. The microwave frequencies used to trigger the Morgellons particles, and of course they've changed the frequencies. So yeah, you've got to be careful of sonic weapons, again, if you know, because they also can make your body heat up slightly, and also, again, you know, it detoxes really quickly, you get altitude sickness and things like that. From the perspective of, you know...
Grounding,
I'm just thinking that what I do, I mean... Linda, one of the things I believe in is, yeah, it's good to ground, but it's also good to be in the ethers. I mean, if you know, I'm in the kind of ethers all day, and you know, I get back here, and sometimes you're a little bit discombobulated. It takes me an hour to ground. But I think there's a balance between grounding and being in the ethers and meditating so that you're not here. So you get kind of a reprieve from this place, you know, and I actually think there's a balance with it. But I think with grounding, yeah, and soil... But the biggest thing for me grounding is actually being amongst the trees, because, you know, trees are live beings. They're very tranquil. You know, our property that we're building our house on, 42 acres, all trees, it's surrounded, you know. So if I sit there, you know, in a chair and, you know, relax and, you know, drink a bit of coffee, I can feel all that energy, you know, angsty energy or anything just leaving. And you think, wow, it feels so... So that's a good grounding mechanism as well. To me, being amongst nature, and it goes more as well to, I think people should start, you know, growing their own food. I think we should get away from these big corporations and really focus on, you know, the joy of growing your food, the joy of cooking it. Get away from these terrible organizations, you know, that do fast food, that put all sorts of horrible things like fetal tissue and who knows, you know. So I think, I think to me, nature is it, you know. I think we've spent too much time. Oh, I don't have the time. Well, you need to make the time, you know, in my opinion. I think we have to make the time and really spend some time really focusing on feeding our bodies really well, you know, getting joy in food. You know, I've been out to restaurants in Branson and the food tastes like absolutely awful. It tastes like gunge, you know, probably is a good word. Mm-hmm. There is one or two good restaurants, but not many. And, you know, and so we don't go out very much anymore, because it's so inconsistent. And I think it's because the supply chain of the meats and everything else is not good. You know, they're putting all sorts of graphene things in it. Who knows, you know? So, yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Bless your heart, Linda.
Charles.
Good morning, everyone. I've been very interested in what I've heard this morning, and it's been very enlightening for me on a personal level. And thank you for including me in the conversation. I wanted to just make a couple of brief observations just for the benefit of the whole. And, you know, that $1.50 will buy you a cup of coffee at McDonald's. But the first problem that we have in this world today is spiritual. We are in rebellion, collectively, jointly, severally, by nation, by people, you name it, we're in rebellion. And when you get to the point that you're in that kind of state of mind, well, it's no wonder that mental insanity falls thereafter. If you have no spiritual ground, you have no mental sanity, and insanity will take over.
Absolutely.
The following that you see a decay and decadence in civilization, you see all the things that we're witnessing, the times of the day of Noah and so forth. And so basically that's what's going on. I'm going to give a hopeful and helpful suggestion to everybody on this hearing today. I think the speaker is exactly right about the things that he said. Let me just momentarily get a seed or two and plant. According to God's word, and you either believe God's word is absolute or you don't, and that's between you and him. Doesn't concern me. One of the statements that is made in that word is that to each is appointed a life. Then comes judgment. The second thing that the Bible says is that we're all sons and daughters of Adam and Eve through Noah and Noah. He had three sons. So we're all brothers. I should be at your Thanksgiving meal because I'm that step-headed, red-haired stepchild. That's who I am. Seriously, we're all blood for that reason. We also are blessed with free will. That's a good thing. It's a bad thing. A tree has no free will. We do. And we can use it for good or we can use it for something less than good. And unfortunately, when you're spiritually depraved and mentally insane, you're going to use your free will for evil. I mean, that's just the way it works. The good news is we all have literally an inheritance a file with our name on it, and we have to name it and claim it. Now, according to his word, we have to do two things to enter into that kingdom. That's called the kingdom of God. And the first thing we have to do is we have to confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord. The second thing we have to do is believe in our heart that the Father raised him from the dead. Now, I can't help anybody on this hearing today to come to that point and elect to do that. But your default position is death and judgment, because we are under the sin of Adam. And we see that manifested all through the world today. The option that's available to all of us, the inheritance, is to claim that inheritance bought and paid for by the sacrifice of God incarnate. Okay, these are the natural law. What are natural laws? What is creation? It all goes back to God's word. He created it. He came up with a blueprint, and his son then implemented it, created all of it. We messed it up in the Garden of Eden, and everything we see today is a manifestation of that sin. So my point to everybody is, focus on the spirit piece, consider who you are, where you want to go, and what you want it to look like. You have a free will. You have this wonderful gift from the Father. I would implore, beg, wheel, cajole, whatever, to get you to in the position where you can accept that offer of inheritance, that offer of grace. And if you do that, then the spiritual problems are going to go away. Now, the physical and mental problems, trust me, they're going to continue because we're in this world. I just point that out to everybody on the hearing today, and I think it's very consistent with what the speaker has talked about. He's manifested beautifully all the mental and spiritual problems that are out there, and some of the other input as well. So thank you.
Thank you, Charles. Before your next, Sharon, I want to interject and bring up, I would like you to comment on this, Chris. There's a lot of, as we said, and Charles is correct, a lot of things, it's a spiritual time we're in, a spiritual, I don't want to say battle, it's a harvesting, separating, a bifurcation, as you said. I counsel or advise that instead of going, I know you've heard this, instead of going against everything, like pushing back, well, let me just say, like, for example, in 5G, instead of just no 5G, go into something with what you want in mind rather than what you don't want. In other words, exactly. don't just push against 5G, say, come up with a solution. We'd like to see fiber or cable or something else in place of that, right? That's a better solution. Or no GMOs, Monsanto's bad. Okay, well then push for local farming, right? Local regenerative agriculture, whatever it is. And that way you're always pushing towards what you want to create, something better in the future. Otherwise, as I understand it, you're just putting energy into the bad stuff that's the already there. Yeah.
Yeah, so, you're actually feeding it. Yeah, and I think I agree. And I think, you know, if you manifest the life you want, and, you know, one of the biggest things I teach people is God's got your back. When you get your vibration, put a bit differently than Charles, but the same principle, you know, if you get to a point where your vibration's up, you release emotion, and you get to that really tranquil place and you take your power back. To me, you don't need gurus. They're just like done. You know, you are your own guru. But I think, you know, we do need to get back to that, you know, and we've got to look for something, you know, in our lives, which gives you absolute joy, whatever it is, painting, healing, something, you know, if you get back to that, you've got something to hang on to, because it's going to be a service to other and God thing. And I think secondly, to me, nature is it, you know, if you grow your own food, or, you know, support a farm locally where you can get all this beautiful food, then we're going to detach from this. I mean, it's interesting because, you know, this Project Mockingbird, of course, CIA, and so is MK Ultra. But, you know, if you look at Mockingbird, mocking is exactly it. So I'll give you an example. So I phoned my father one day. He goes, we've got a bigger problem than vaccine. I said, what's that? Global warming. Oh, is it? I said, so what's causing that? And he goes, well, cows passing wind. I said, well, are you telling me cows farting is creating global warming? He goes, yeah. I said, who told you that? And he said, the BBC. I said, well, you do realize we've solved it in America. He goes, how did you solve it? I said, we'll just give them tum-tums. It settles the stomach. There's no wind. And he goes, oh, my God, we'll have to do that here. You know, it's like mocking, like, Are you kidding? This is an educated person. You know, I mean, oh my God, I don't know what to say. You know? It's just nuts. But Mockingbird, you know, I see it all the time. That's why I have to be careful. Like you, Jim, with people, you know, who've taken the jab or become woke or Trump haters or this, that, and the other haters. I mean, it's all bifurcation, you know. Politics, religion, everything has, you know, if you can find a path to God and it's through Christianity, great. But I do think everything's been hijacked, you know, to an extent, not completely, but to an extent. But, you know, to me, if you're a Buddhist, you know, if you, whatever religion you have, I think there's good elements in there. And I think you should, you know, it's good that if people can focus on that, you know. To me, I talk about prime creator, you know. I love Jesus' teachings, by the way, but because he always talked about don't judge people. And I think that's one of the keys that I've always taken. No judgment. You know, am I a sinner? I don't think I'm a sinner. I do God's work every day. That's just a differential. You know, I think, do you make mistakes? Well, yeah, no one's perfect. But, you know, if you're a God being, we're all God, you know, sons and daughters of God. We're part of God. So is nature. It's all the same thing. So I think if you forgive yourself, you know, the karma to me is, if you know, if you do something stupid, I mean, we've all done daft things. I'm sure you guys have, you know, in your life where they, oh my God, I shouldn't have done that. Well, if you forgive yourself, then you're okay. You know, if you dwell on it, you're going to create a reality that's going to destroy your life because, you know, you, oh my God, they're going to come and get me or something's going to happen and you're manifesting that reality. So to me, I think the karma is created by, and so if you forgive yourself and, oh, God's got my back. I mean, think about God. God's forgiven you before you even start because God's actually unconditional love or prime creator, whatever you want to call God. So, yeah, I think that's interesting.
Good. Thank you. Sharon, I see your hand up.
Hi. Well, I'm really enjoying this discussion, Christopher. Thank you.
Yay!
I'm coming here, yes, because I work with frequencies. I'm a naturopathic doctor, and I work with frequencies. I have a device that can measure the frequencies through the voice and things like that. And I've been following a lot of these topics and with the health and everything. And aside from that, I'm also a member of Ekinkar. I'm a member of the Ekinkar clergy, and we teach and I teach things on karma and reincarnation and soul travel. And I'm wondering if you've ever worked with people using chanting and sacred words to help raise their vibrations. Like Ekinkar teaches this word, it used to be secret, but now they've brought it to the public. It's H-U, Hue.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
So you may have heard that. And, you know, a lot of the frequencies, the tuning forks and the crystal bowls and everything, when you listen, you'll hear that hue in every single sound. And that's what that does. And so there are teachings on earth today, like Ekinkar, that can, you know, it's a spiritual path. And they the teachings help you go within and become your own guru and rise above a lot of these things using sounds, sacred words and practices. And so I just kind of wanted to throw that out there, that there is, you know, help out there for people. And yeah, you are doing a great job. And I really appreciate what you're doing in the world to raise the consciousness. And you're right about putting your attention on the positive and on yeah, what you'd like to see in the world and within yourself. So thank you for the great work you're doing.
Oh, bless you, Sharon. Thanks.
If I can comment real quick on that. Sharon, Ek Onkar, you know, that's a standard meditation in Kundalini Yoga. Uh-huh. Ek Onkar, one creator of the creation. Do you know much about Kundalini Yoga, Sharon?
A little bit.
I just had to say that because, you know, that's a standard meditation.
Well, yeah, Ek means the word Ek is the first cause. Mm-hmm. Onkar can also mean the study of the knowledge of the first cause or spirit, or Ek also means Holy Spirit.
Yeah. Folks, if you want to hear about Kundalini Yoga, just reach out to me. It's Sharon's mm-hmm. right. You know, mantra means the mind's projection through vibration. So these vibrations have frequencies and it has medicinal effects. That's my secret every morning.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Chris, the value of meditation and mantra? want to comment on that?
I think it's key. And I think, like you say, vibration, frequencies, I think intent, you know, by doing a mantra, you know, you're creating that intent also. And, you know, you're getting, one of the things with this world is that, you know, some of the God frequencies are interfered with, you know, with all the 5G and, you know, harp and all this sort of thing. And so people say, well, I can't manifest. Well, you need something that's really going to imprint. You know, when you manifest, it's no use to say, oh God, I don't suppose you could possibly, we're not powerless victims. You've got to take that power back, and you've got to get that dipole array in your brain, which are nerves, to really power up so you can send those thoughts out, you know, and God will listen. Because otherwise, if there's a blanket over it, trying to break through that blanket is very hard. And I think mantras are great. You know, if you could do mantras, you know, we create them sometimes, really focusing on, because it can shift your thought patterns as well. You know, I mean, affirmations are great, you know, because if you keep saying, I'm really well, you know, every single, you know, half a day or something, you know, you'll really create that. One of the things that's interesting about these machines, Sharon, is that, I would just advise you with spectral density machines, they can be altered by reptilians. Therefore, I would, you know, if you use machines, put protection around them. You know, like for example, the most powerful prayer we have is the 2070 Stereo Mercapal Field prayer. And so basically it's a prayer, a map of intent to create it and put it around the machine, because if you've got a reptilian there, they can play with the machine because their mind is very strong. So that's just, you know, something, you know, I've seen it, you know, and I've played with these machines. And, you know, it's just important to protect them when you're working with people. You know, I just thought I'd throw that out there, bless your heart. But well, you're doing well, great work.
Thank you.
Have a look at the website.
We have a spiritual masters that protect us. Also, we can call on the masters that work on the inner planes that keep those negative entities away.
So yeah, that's great.
Thank you for that. Because you have to ask. You have to invite.
Oh, yeah. If you don't invite, then it doesn't happen. Yeah. And so they're waiting there. So, why didn't you ask me? I want to do something. But, you know,
these
good beings must get really fed up with us all. I want to help you. But if you don't ask, I can't get involved. You know, that's the mm-hmm. rules of the third dimensional world. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Just to add to that, I'm also a biofeedback practitioner and work with a very advanced device, which an engineer from Los Alamos told me was reverse engineered ET technology. Mm-hmm. And it does show up. It actually shows up if uses frequency. I can see every emotional profiles, all kinds of things, homotoxicology in the body. But it actually will tell you if, or tell me, the practitioner, if there's a ghost on board or another entity, mm-hmm. and often can remove them. I mean, I know how to use it that way. But the point here is that, I mean, 95% of the public has no idea that this stuff even exists, right? We go back to Catholicism, the church hundreds of years ago, and exorcisms and possessions were like common knowledge. It was accepted. And now it's all, that's all, you know, poo-poo, it's gone. But it's not, you know, and I see it all the time.
I see it. I mean,
yeah, you see it.
People who come for healing, 99.9% of the people have got an attachment, you know. And the interesting thing about it is, of course, if you've got an attachment, taps the lower back, sends you negative thoughts, so you get all depressed. It affects the intestines, you know, because it paralyzes the intestines. If it's Anunnaki, Draconian, they hang on the shoulders or neck, so your shoulders and neck are always tight, you know, damages the L4-5 disc, and, you know, they walk around with these things attached to them for, like, years, and, of course, it's, you know, it can damage the disc, you know. I mean, look at fibromyalgia, 9 out of 21 symptoms, and you've got fibromyalgia. Well, you know, all these things are in that realm, you know. So, yeah, I agree with you.
We need to get people to understand that they are energy, and infection is energy. Everything is energy, right? And they can project it. They have the power. Mm-hmm. You got it. Good. Okay, I think we're wrapping on coming up on our hour. How would people learn about or get involved with your classes or contact you?
Yeah, if you want to contact, if you go to the website, it's probably easier, globalenlightenmentproject.com. So if you go to the website, you can email us, you know, if you can sign up for, you know, general groups, you can, you know, email the office. There's lots of meditations that are guided meditations for healing, you know, and it's, have a look, you know, we'd love to help.
You said there's something on February 1st. Is that listed on the website where people might want to join you?
Yeah, that's a ceremony. Free to join. You know, just sign up. Free to join. We want as many people as possible because, again, it's like using like a mantra or affirmations. We're all going to say it together, and it's a God thing. You know, creating that God ritual to break down all the satanic stuff, and it's really powerful. It's really powerful. Right.